Okay, good evening everybody. The show is going to be Le'ilui Nishmat, Lee Elliot. One minute.
Le'aliyot
HaNeshamot. Dvera Bat Avram and Avram Ben Baruch Simcha. Pasha Lea Bat Rachel. Yes? Pasha Lea? Pesha Lea. Pesha Lea Bat Rachel.
Sugar?
No sugar. Thank you.
Miuk.
Shkoyach. ברוך אתה אדוני אלוהינו מלך העולם שהכל נהיה בדברו.
אמן.
אוקיי. פרשת וישלח. Very important parsha. All the parshas are important, but this one is important from one point of view. We are talking here about...
You can take it.
I can take it off?
Yeah. No problem. I finish my studies.
You finish? Okay. וישלח יעקב מלאכים, and Jacob sent angels. Angels? It's a question.
Yes.
What is really sending? Angels or is sending normal messengers? But before this, whenever we had a discussion with the Goyim, our sages used to learn this parsha. Because in this parsha, Yaakov deals with Esav. And he deals also with an angel. And we see wheeling and dealing the whole parsha. And there are a lot of things to learn. One of the interesting things of our parsha is that there are a lot of double meanings. Atzileini na miyad achi miyad Esav. Save me from my brother, from Esav. He's got only one brother. So you can say, save me from my brother. Or, save me from Esav. And if you want to already say, from my brother Esav, okay, no problem. Say, Atzileini na miyad achi Esav. What is miyad achi miyad Esav? From my brother, from Esav. Why? You know, the Torah, every letter has got a meaning. Then, וישלח יעקב מלאכים לפניו ארצה סעיר שדה אדום. ארצה סעיר שדה אדום. Why do we need also ארצה סעיר and also שדה אדום? And we'll see while we, if we manage to go through all of them, I don't know, but there are a lot of similar things in our parsha. First of all, the question is, who is he really sending? If we're talking about an angel, we have a small problem. You know what the problem is? For example, today, even today, if you want to send a kohen as a messenger, you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to use a kohen for doing deliveries for you or things like this. So how is it that Yaakov is sending angels?
That's right. This is
big question.
Hashem's work.
Yeah, big question. So one of the explanations is malachim. We have in other places the malachim mean messengers. Shlichim. Okay. But you know, every time we talk about an angel, it's called an angel. And especially when we're talking about Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu is dealing all his life with angels. He starts with a dream on a ladder that angels going up and down. And then he meets angels. They meet him. Then he's sending my angels, but it doesn't end here. He also fights an angel and wins. What is the Torah trying to tell us? The Torah is not... We say it a lot of times, but we have to say it all the time. Because especially on Sefer Bereshit, we read stories. And we think that the Torah is telling us our history and all the things that went with our forefathers. But the real truth is that the Torah is not a story. The Torah is a lesson, a daily lesson for us to live according to what we read in the Parsha. Especially in the Parshat Shavua. The Parshat Shavua is not talking about something that happened a few thousand years ago. The Parshat Shavua is talking about what's happening this week. This week. And you always will find a connection between the week we're reading the Parsha and what's happening in the Parsha. Okay. So let's see about those angels. Ve'alach lefanav tzidko. When somebody goes after 120 to heaven, say, ve'alach lefanav tzidko. What is ve'alach lefanav tzidko? His justice is going to go in front of us. Or, in front of him. Or, his good deeds, his mitzvahs. Ve'alach lefanav tzidko. So, lefanav. And what is here written? Ve'ishlach Yaakov malachim lefanav. So, 1 minute. Who are those angels? Maybe those angels are really
the mitzvot.
The mitzvot he did. His good deeds. In other words, they are his angels. So, there is no problem to send them. And then also when we connect to the parsha before, so how we come to the conclusion that it is really angels, because the ending of the parsha is ויעקב הלך לדרכו ויפגעו בו מלאכי אלוקים ויאמר יעקב כאשר המחנה אלוקים זה ויקרא שם במקום ההוא מחניים וישלח יעקב מלאכים לפניו. So it's connected. And also לפניו, what's לפניו? In front of him. So he's really saying the same thing. Those angels that are now standing in front of you. Okay. Angels, no angels. The Shlach HaKadosh says that what we really have in our parsha is that the parsha is trying to tell us that whatever we do in this world is also happening, or let's say it's got a reflection in the next world, in heaven. So when Yaakov Avinu is sending angels here, there are angels being sent up there, and here he's really sending human beings, messengers. When he's fighting with Esav, or with the, let's say, Saroshel Esav, the angel of Esav, there is a physical fight in this world, and a spiritual fight up there somewhere. Okay. In other words, the Torah is telling us that there is a connection between what we do here and what's happening up there. And when we talk about this, let's see what is going on here. He says, a messenger, you know, tell Esav, Ko amar avdecha Yaakov, im Lavan garti, va'echar ad ata. I lived with Lavan, and I was there many years, so I'm really coming late, and this is when I'm coming in. So what is he really trying to tell us? So Rashi explains, Im Lavan garti, lo nieti gvir, ela I've been a ger. I didn't become a gvir. What is a gvir?
Millionaire.
Not only a rich man, it's the important guy of the Kahila, it's let's say the governor, it's somebody important, a gvir. And what was the blessing of Yitzchak? You be a gvir, le'achecha. You be the gvir. You be in charge on your brothers. He says, it didn't happen. So calm down. From the other side, says Rashi, gvir lo itkayem bi. What's lo itkayem bi? Inside me. If we take the word gvir, we have gimel, bet, yud, resh. Now look, what is B inside is B. Ge, V, B. If I take the B out, what do I have?
Ger.
But Ge, Vir, Lo, it kayem B. B, it's not there. I am only a Ger. But then Rashi says another explanation. Im Lavan garti, v'taryag mitzvot shamarti. I lived with Laban, but I kept all the mitzvahs. Why is he telling him this? Because also in the blessing, what was written, what did Yitzchak say to Esau? If Yaakov will go down spiritually and not keep the mitzvahs properly, so then you're going to be in charge. But as long as Yaakov keeps the mitzvahs, you have a problem. So he's really telling him a very interesting thing. From one point, he's telling him, I suffered. I've been a poor guy. I'm not a gvir. From the other side, it tells him, I've been there, but I kept all the mitzvahs, so be careful. And we'll see it again. And that's a very interesting way to deal with problems. Because sometimes, you know, we come to a problem and we confront it. And it's sometimes very stupid. Because when you come to somebody and directly attack him, what is going to be his response? Attacking you back. But if you want to tell him something, even if it's the worst thing in the world, if you know how to say it, there are schools that teach the diplomat how to talk. They say one thing and they mean other thing. But the real chokhmah is that the way you say it, the other guy will understand what you really mean, what's behind your words. And you do it in a diplomatic way. So it's not like what we say, politically correct sometimes. So then nothing happens and you pass the message. So what is really Yaakov doing? This is what he's doing. That's why all our sages, all our chachamim used to learn this parsha, to learn how do you deal with a problem. Okay. So now he's being told, we came to your brother Esav. Here again, El Achicha, El Esav. What's the meaning? He is your brother, but he acts like Esav. He doesn't look that it comes in peace. Olech likhatcha ve'arba mot ishimo. He's got 400 people with him. Okay. Vayira Yaakov ma'od v'yetzer lo v'yachetz et ha'am asher ito. Then what is he doing? He's getting worried. So he's dividing all the people and all the cattle and everything to two camps. Why? He says, if he comes in peace, I cannot have warriors standing in front, because he will come in peace, he will see the weapons, so he will start a war, and didn't have any intention to start a war. From the other side, if he really comes for war and I put everybody with no weapons, he's going to attack and win, and I'm going to lose all everybody. So he says, let's play the game. In front, I will put a group of people with no weapons, but behind, they are going to stand by with weapons. Now, if Esav comes in peace, those with the weapons hide the weapons, everything is okay, Baruch Hashem, happy end. But if Esav comes to fight, he says, V'nish'ar, v'aya machaneh nish'ar lifleita. That's what he's saying. What's v'aya machaneh nish'ar lifleita? So people think that Esav is going to kill all the first camp, and the others are going to survive because they have weapons. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, Yaakov is not stupid. What he's really saying is, "Vaya machane hanitar lepleita." He means the other camp. He will make sure that the first camp is not going to be killed, because what they're going to do, the first camp is going to go. Then they will see Esav coming, and he comes with weapons, so they will going to spread and the camp behind is going to jump out and fight. Very clever. So suddenly we see the Parsha starting to take a picture a little differently from what we read. And it's everything we see in all Parsha is like this. So then, what is he saying? He's giving all those presents, big things, and we cannot go through everything in the Parsha, but we'll try to get to a few very interesting points.
In Asaf, run to him and kiss him.
Yes, and one of the explanations says he really kissed him.
Yeah.
Because you see, what Yaakov was doing, he was preparing himself in three ways. A present, prayer,
and
fight. And this is the way we should prepare ourselves also. We have to be prepared for everything. Now what was, he gave, when you give a lot of presents, you know, he is his brother at the end of the day, and all those presents, he softened his heart.
He was a prime minister.
And then...
Prime minister.
He was a prime minister in his place. And it was not enveloped, you know, it was a different way that day.
Cigarette.
Yeah. So, Esav was softened, and at the end of the day, well, they hugged each other and they kissed, and Baruch Hashem, very nice. But you know, there is a problem with this hug of Esav. We'll see in a minute. What is Yaakov Avinu saying? Now we get to the point where he is fighting with an angel. Vayivater Yaakov levado, vayavek ish imo, ada lot ha-shachar. And this is a very interesting point. Why is it interesting? Why is he alone?
Yeah.
Why is he alone? He's got all those people with him. His sons. Slaves. Why is he alone? What happened? So Rashi says, "Uchazar al pachim ktanim." What does it mean? He went back because he left a few boxes of sardines. That's what he say. Pachim ktanim. By the way, it reminds us another pach. What pach is reminding us? Chanukah. Pach Hashemet.
Yeah.
Also, a small pach. You see what can happen with a small pach. Okay. So he's coming back for a small pachim. So the Mefarshim ask, why? You are a billionaire. It's got so much you've got. You know, we see the description.
Yeah.
Why are you going back for a few small boxes?
And alone. And alone.
That's the question. If you went with a whole group of people, what's going on here? There is a very interesting midrash that said, there's a sage that's all sages say. צדיקים, ממונם חביב עליהם מגופם. צדיקים, their possessions, their money, is more important to them from their body. Sounds very strange. Sounds even absurd. צדיקים, ממונם חביב עליהם מגופם? What's going on here? Let's look and see what Yaakov is trying to teach us. Yaakov, in the beginning of his way, is asking God, if you're going to keep me and give me food to eat and clothes to wear, and I will come back, ta 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 ta. So what is he asking? Very humble. I want food to eat and clothes to wear. I don't want to be a millionaire. I don't want to be anything. Eh? But as we said last week, this is a very interesting request, because the first question we will ask, what's with health? You don't want to be healthy? But that's what he's really asking. You know, you can have a lot of clothes, but you're lying in bed. You cannot wear them. You can have a lot of food on the table, but you cannot eat, because you're connected to a machine, chas v'sholom. So what is he really asking? Help me to go through this way with good health, that I will have food, have clothes, and I will be able also to use them. And then we see how he works very hard for Lavan. And from our parsha we also learn how should you, if you have a job, what should you do? How should you, how careful you have to be with the time of your boss. We don't learn how to be a boss, because Lavan is not exactly a figure of a good boss.
A model.
Yes, it's not exactly a model figure for a boss. But he's working very hard, and we are asking ourselves, this humble guy that is asking only for food to eat and clothes is working so hard for money. So okay, in the beginning he worked for a wife. Ah, we can understand it. But now, when he's dealing and willing with Lavan, he's really working for money. And now, he's also going back. Is this guy stingy? Impossible. Why? Because just now he gave his brother a fortune. If you read what he gave him all, it's like unbelievable.
That's why he needs the sardines.
What? No, you see, you gave him everything. Now he had to go back for those small sardine boxes. Yeah. Okay, maybe, who knows. But still, the question is being asked. Okay. The real truth is, tzaddikim, ממונם חביב עליהם מגופם, means that the tzaddikim know that the money they've got, especially if they do it, and if the tzaddikim they do it in the righteous way. Who gave you the money?
Hashem.
One minute. If Hashem gives you something, how should you behave with it? Can you do whatever you want with it?
No.
No.
No, we can do it.
And is it precious or not?
But so is your goof given to you by Hashem. So is your gamma,
they didn't say that the body that don't care about the body. They said the mamonam chaviv alei migufam. Why? Why? Because the money was given to you from God. And the lesson is, when we go now, it's a very interesting point, because people don't realize it. Especially on Hanukkah, you know, one of the halacha is a very interesting halacha. They said that on Hanukkah you don't have to do, that there is no big mitzvah in eating, because the problem was spiritual and not physical. Like in Purim, it was also physical. They wanted to kill us and that's it. But on Hanukkah, the only thing they wanted to be like them. And if we have been like them, it was no problem. So then it's a spiritual, yontov, or whatever, Hanukkah, whatever you call it. And now, if we're talking about Hanukkah, light, and eating, and what does it mean exactly, all those things. So we look at Yaakov, and we want to understand. Tzadikim, mamonam, chaviv alei migufam. What do they do on Hanukkah? They play cards. They play with a treadle.
Dreidel.
And it goes on. I know when I was young, I'm sure that till today they do it. I had a group of friends, and every Hanukkah, every evening, they were sitting and playing cards. And believe me, the money that was going on the table,
yeah,
was a fortune. Big money. And of course, not everybody was happy at the end of the evening. Yeah. Somebody but knows. The really important thing is this really a way to celebrate Hanukkah? To gamble? And they say the halacha says that those who make those parties and pay mischakei karten, karten in Yiddish, karten is cards.
Karten.
They are doing an evil thing. And they shouldn't do it. Why? Why so? What is so terrible?
Waste of time.
Not only time, wasting money. In other words, if you now take your money and spend it on nonsense,
but we don't have a gamble, actually.
Is it all right? It's your money, yes? Or maybe...
It's not really your money.
Maybe you're really abusing something that God gave you. And then it is not only okay, not okay, it's a sin. And that's what Yaakov is really telling us. Whatever God gives you, it's got a purpose. There is a reason you got it. Now the question is, what do you do with it? The Torah doesn't tell you to be poor. The Torah doesn't want you to be poor. The Torah wants you to be rich. The Torah wants you to enjoy life. But in the right way, in the right proportion. That's why we see from one side, Yaakov is asking bread to eat and clothes to wear. From the other side, he is acting like he is stingy and he is really with a lot of wealth. So, what is he telling us? He's telling us a very simple thing. Whatever God gives you, it is the best for you, and that's all you need. How do we see this? He's giving all those gifts to Esav. What is Esav saying? Esav is saying,
I have
plenty.
I have a lot.
Yeah. I've got plenty. I don't need your presents. Yeah. So he is stealing and saying, you know, it's okay, take it, because I have
a call.
Everything. What? He's got everything? How could it be he's got everything? Just now he gave him this big present. What?
He's satisfied with his lot. That's a contented man from me. Is someone who's satisfied with what they've got.
Satisfied doesn't mean I've got everything. You write what you're saying, but let's take the point. Because if he's saying... Yeshli kol, it means he's got everything. He's not satisfied. He doesn't need anything.
Yeshli kol or yeshli
hakol? Yeshli kol, doesn't matter. We say in Berkat Hamazon, bakol, mikol, kol. And bakol, Avraham, and kol, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Each one of them got this blessing.
It could mean that hakol means that he has everything, like, you know, but kol means I have almost... Everything.
No, call is call. Call is a claw. Call. A call.
There's another
everything.
Explanation that he, it was the name of a person, that he had a daughter called
Call. Right, call.
Some people, some rabbis been met up.
With, okay. But with a cup?
The interesting thing is, when Yaakov Avinu says, Yeshli call, he means he's got everything. And what does it mean? He's really telling us, that it doesn't matter what you have. And it's not Eizo Ashir.
Hasameach b'chelko.
What is a Sameach b'chelko?
Satisfied peace.
It's not satisfied. That's a mistake that people make. It doesn't say Eizo Ashir ha-mistapek b'chelko. Hasameach b'chelko. Because you can be satisfied what you've got, but still not very happy about it. Okay, I'm satisfied. But I wouldn't care if I had more. That's what Esav is saying. Yeshli rav. I've got plenty. He's satisfied. But Yaakov is saying, I've got everything. Eizo Ashir, Hasameach b'chelko. When are you happy with what you've got? When you understand that what you've got is the best thing in the world. For you. In other words, it doesn't matter what the other guy's got. If it's not mine, I don't need it. But if whatever I got, this is, you know how I should say, I look at things? My wife is the most beautiful wife in the world. Maybe other people will say, nonsense. But for me, it's the most beautiful wife in the world. My house, the most beautiful house in the world. Maybe my neighbor's got a double-sized house. So what? For me, it's the best. My car is the best. My clothes are the best. Everything is the best. So then I'm happy with what I've got. And that's what is Yaakovino telling us. You should be happy with what you want and understand that if you're happy, you have got everything. You don't need anything. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't work, that you shouldn't want to have more. It's not a contradiction. And the people sometimes made this mistake. The Torah is saying, Adam ki yamut ba'oel. If a person wants to learn Torah, he should kill himself on the Torah. Adam ki yamut ba'oel. That's what's written. So they say that pat bemelach tochal, or mayim bemshura tishte. You should eat bread with salt and eat water like in a Russian. Well, what's going on? Is this really what God wants us to do? No, that's not the idea. The idea is put the things in the right proportion. It doesn't matter what you've got. If it's only water, if it's only bread, or if it's a steak fillet or whatever. Filet mignon or whatever you've got. You should be satisfied with what you've got and put things in the proportion. The most important thing is take what you've got, enjoy it in the right way. What is enjoying it in the right way? That's the ladder. Malachi Elohim, Olim, Veyordim Bo. Create angels. Do good deeds. For example, I just this week read in the paper, very interesting, about Beta Tafshir. You know, you can do chesed in a lot of ways. Beta Tafshil do the chesed in a very interesting way. All the lorries, all the delivery trucks that they send them, give the food, it's got no signs on them. Nothing. You will never see a lorry that's written Beta Tafshil on it. Also the packages, nothing written on them. Why?
Because they don't want people to, you know, to know that the people get. They don't need the other neighbors to know that they're getting it.
Because the people can be ashamed. Like today, suddenly they hear this truck coming, and the neighbor is getting a package from Beta Tafshil. Ah, oh, he's a poor guy, he's a miskin, and they will have pity on him. And you know, you're losing it. It's embarrassing. So what do? They do it in a way that nobody even feels and knows about what's going on. Yeah. It's like you got a package from the super soul. Why do they do it this way?
That's embarrassing.
Because they do it
from the super soul.
So, in other words, you can do a mitzvah and you can do a mitzvah. It depends how you do it. So what is the source of everything? How do you do a mitzvah in the right way? Look at Yaakov. Who is Yaakov? Yaakov is really the son of Yitzchak and the grandson of Avram. Now, what is the beginning? Avram. What is Avram?
Chesed,
love. The first thing is love. When you do things with love, you don't think only about yourself. You also think on the other side. Then you do it in the proper way. When you're dealing with every human being like he's yourself, then you look at things, you understand him. If you look at things from the outside, I'm a great guy, I'm doing chesed. So what? You can do chesed and you can do chesed. It depends how you're doing it.
We went to this couple helped to build one of the Amit high schools, I think in Male, I remember. And we went to the opening because a friend of my sister's, and he wouldn't speak to the husband, but his wife got up and she said that, my husband told me that our money is from Hashem. And whatever, we have to be very careful with what we do with it, and we have to do the right thing with it.
That's what
it is. So beautiful.
Yes, it is beautiful. Now, let's look a little on Esav. Esav, thinking that after all those years, his brother living with Lavan, and his Lavan, this guy, Lavan, is not exactly a righteous guy, and Yaakov Avinu is this Ishtam Yoshevo Alim, this scholar who sits and learns. What do you think he imagined himself? How is Yaakov going to meet him? How is he going to look? What possession is he going to have? What do you think?
The eyes
of Esau.
Poor guy.
Limping, torn clothes, he's got nothing. Misken. And suddenly, what does he see? He says, Miyamachane Zelecha. I said, woohoo! What's this? What's going on here? We had a deal. I take Olam Hazeh, you take Olam Haba. You are the spiritual guide. I am the one that lives here in this world. I have to have all those joys of life, all the property and all the possession and all the money. And what's going on here? Look what a big family you've got. And money and slaves. You've got everything. 1 minute. This deal is no good. You cannot take both worlds. We have to sit and see what we're doing here. He was in a shock. And what is the teaching us? You can be a righteous guy, you can go in the way of God, and you can still be a millionaire. No problem. You can have money, you can have everything. As long as you do the things in the right way. If you understand what is important and what is less important. Esav realizing this, he got him into a shock. He couldn't believe what he's seeing. And Yaakov was afraid of this moment. That's why he's asking God, "Atzileini na miyad achi miyad Esav." As then we say, what is miyad achi miyad Esav? Save me from my brother or save me from Esav. What does it mean, "Atzileini na miyad achi miyad Esav"? Because then we say, Esav can come with peace. And Esav can come with war. If he comes with peace, he's a brother. If he comes with war, it's Esav. Now what is he putting in front? What would you put in front?
He said miyad achi miyad Esav.
Yes, but let's leave the Malachim. Now they're meeting together. What you ask God? First of all, to save you from your enemy or save you from your brother?
Your enemy.
From my brother.
From who?
My enemy.
What are you going to ask? You have now two options. Either he comes as a brother or he comes as an enemy. Mm-hmm. What are you going to ask first? Save me from my brother or save me from my enemy?
Enemy.
Enemy. Sure. And what is Yaakov saying? Atzilenina miyadachi miyadesa. First of all, save me for my brother. Why? If he comes as a brother, it's okay. It's no problem.
There is an explanation.
Yes, of course there is an explanation. No,
because he was thinking that maybe he has not the schut enough to win if he has to fight with the...
Yeah, but why is he asking... What's the meaning of brother?
Well, first of all, he knows his brother. He knew the Esav that he ran away from.
Yeah, but so you can say save me from Esav. Yeah, yeah. What's the idea of brother?
Depends if he's acting as a brother or whether he's acting.
And if he's acting as a brother, is there a problem?
Of course.
There are brothers and brothers.
What is the problem if he acts like a brother?
Good
because
brother.
Maybe he wants to unite and mix, and he can lose all his
family.
The influence negative from the what? Negative influence from Esav to his children. And
so what are we talking here about?
Yes.
A physical problem or a spiritual problem?
Spiritual.
And what is more important?
Spiritual.
That's why he's asking, "Atzileinina miyad achi miyad Esav." If he comes as a brother, what's going to happen? What happened on Hanukkah? What is Hanukkah all about? The Greek came and they brought a light to the world. Do you know what the world looked like before the Greeks? There were no the greatest philosopher of all times are Greeks. Yeah. Who are the philosophers you know? Two names.
Aristotle.
No, who are they? Greeks or not?
Yeah,
they're all Greeks.
Yeah, Greeks.
Socrates, Aristotle.
All of them Greeks.
Euclides.
Like, in other words, from a spiritual point of view, you have to understand it. It's not only a physical point of view. From a spiritual point of view, the Greeks were very developed. They had high ideas. Democracy, where is it coming from?
Yeah.
The Olympic Games, where does it come from?
Greeks.
1 minute. What's happening today? The same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So, 1 minute. Why do we have a problem with it? Why do we have a problem with it?
Assimilation.
Because in the Greek culture, man is the center.
The body.
The body is the center. Mm-hmm. In our culture, God is in the center. Let's put it in another way. The klal is in the center. Everybody. Not me. It's not me. It's everybody. Like today we had this in the Gemara, the Daf HaYomi, how many mitzvahs there is and this and that. And then somebody came and put it on one mitzvah. So like, well, what does it mean one mitzvah? And we're talking about mitzvahs. And then how many mitzvahs do we have to keep?
613.
Is there anybody that can keep 613 mitzvahs?
Of course not.
Is there anybody who can, even if he tries to keep 613 mitzvahs? Why not?
He can't, because if he's a Kohen, if he's a Levi, if he's a Yisrael,
in other words, there is no way that one guy can keep all the mitzvahs.
That's right.
So why are we obliged to keep all the mitzvahs?
Between us.
In other words, what is the Torah telling us? We have to keep the mitzvahs. So how do you keep the mitzvahs?
Everybody.
If you are together with everybody. That's the only way that we can keep the mitzvahs. So what is the Torah? That's the basic of everything. And we come back to love. Yes.
That's why we daven together.
Yes, of
in
course.
A group, because what you're not asking for the other person.
Exactly. Nahon. Very right. Exactly. That's the point. That's the whole idea. Now the Greek came with all this light, came to this world, and they wherever they came, by the way, everybody loved them, because think about it, they were all primitives, and suddenly they have this light of knowledge. Art, shows, sport games. Wow, unbelievable. They come to Eretz Yisrael, and suddenly a group of people tells them, you are dark. We are dark. We are the light of the world. What is Hanukkah all about?
Light.
Light. And other way, what is the true light? You know, there was this guy, I told you a few times the story. He came, first time he comes to a movie. He sits in the theater, in the Bet Kolnoa, in the cinema, and suddenly everything is dark, and he sees those figures on the screen. And he doesn't see so good. He says, well, why do we sit in the dark? Next day he comes with a big torch, scales in. The minute it's dark, takes the torch. Of course, everybody's shouting, turn off the light, turn off the light. And he's also seeing something very interesting. Wherever the light goes, all the figures went out. They're not there anymore. Where there is dark, all the figures are running and doing and saying, and like, turn off the light. But that's really our story. We live in a movie. And the minute we see the real light, we see that there is a mood that's a movie. It's not true. All those physical, all those desires, all those stupid things, we're running after them. The minute we see the real light, we see how stupid it is. But what do we say? Turn off the lights! What? We enjoy life. What do you want from us? We want to live in a film. We live in a film. Chaim beseret. What? Why not? It's nice life. But it's not real. It's dark. You think it's light. The minute you see the real light, you see how dark it is. For example, you sit in a pub. Have you ever sit in a pub?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You sit in a pub at night. What's the... You know, how is the lighting in a pub?
Dark.
What?
Dark.
Of course dark. Why? Because if there is going to be light and you see how you look and how your friend looks, you will get up and run away. That's what the angel of Esav says. The minute that, Vala, Shachar, let me go! The light is coming, I have to go! In other words, when is Esav controlling us? When has he got the power? In the dark. What is dark? Sometimes it looks like light, but it's really dark. So how do we know? That's why we light the candles on Hanukkah. To see the real light, to understand what is light. The only light is the light of the Torah. The problem is that sometimes we don't want to
look at it.
Because we enjoy all the nice things that we have. And you see, the point is, the Greek came to Amis and told him, you know what? What is written? Ki beiti beit tfila yikare lekol ha'amim. What does it mean? My house is going to be a prayer house for
all the
nations. So he said, you know what? In the morning, you will bring your sacrifices. You will bring a seh, keves, kvasim, you bring lambs, whatever. And in the afternoon, we'll bring a pig. Our sacrifice. Is it possible? Can we do this?
No.
Of course not. But that's exactly the point. They couldn't understand. They couldn't understand what God... And by the way, people, you know how many Jews fall into this? The Mityavnim? Many. And what's happening today? The same thing. You know, I talked about it this week also. One of the things that's really aggravating me lately is there are a lot of talks about the American Jews that are, they don't care about us anymore. And they have all those stupid excuses. For example, because we decided in the Kotel that the Reform cannot use this path, that's why they are getting away. You know what the real answer is? They don't want to know about us because they're comfortable. They enjoy life. Why do they need Israel? And you know the funny thing is? That also some of the ultra-Orthodox think the same way.
Oh, yeah.
In a different
angle.
Angle. Some of them say, we're waiting for the Mashiach to take us. But you know what some of them say? And you know when I heard this? It was unbelievable. When the Mashiach will come, Eretz Yisrael is going to spread all over the world.
So there'll be.
So what do they say?
So there'll be.
Where is Jerusalem? Where is Jerusalem?
In New York.
New Jerusalem. You have New York. It's going to change to New Jerusalem.
Used to be in Babel.
No, that's what they want to believe. It's for them. It's that's exactly the dark of the Greeks. That's the dark of the Western culture.
A lot of truth in it.
You know, there are so many things, and in the States, they have good life. Not all of them, by the way. We must put things on the table. And when we talk about the reforms and other people, let's put things in proportion. You're talking about the young generation that grew up in homes that didn't know anything about anything. So the father used to donate to Israel something in order to
feel good.
To feel good in his conscience. Yeah. But at the end of the day, that's what his son, the children saw. So he says, well, I don't need it. Who needs it? Okay, I'm Jewish. I've got no problem with this. I am a proud Jew. Israel? What is Israel? And by the way, it happened not long ago when the Reform movement started in Germany. Yeah, right. They took out of the Siddur all words that remind of Zion, Israel, and Jerusalem. Took it out from the Siddur. Why? They said, you be a Jew in your house
and
a goy outside. We will be like everybody. Why? They hate us because we talk all the time about Eretz Israel. So we stop talking about Eretz Israel. Because, you know, you cannot be both. If you remember with Moshe Rabbeinu, the same thing as when he went out and saw this Egyptian hitting the Jew. So, Vayabit kolacho, Vayar ki enish. He looked here and there and said, there is nobody. And Rav Zalman Sorotkin explains in a beautiful way. What does it mean he looked here and there and he saw nobody? He says, he looked from one side, I am Moses, I'm an Egyptian. He was raised up in the palace of Pharaoh. From the other side, I am Jewish. 1 minute. Can I be both? So he looked here, looked there, and understood. Either I'm Jewish or I'm Egyptian. I have to decide. And he decided and he buried what? The Egyptian in the sand. And that's the only way. You cannot be both. So what do? They decide to bury Israel in the sand. The point is, Yaakov Avinu is going where? Eretz Israel. What does Avraham Avinu promise? The first thing, before the Torah, before anything else, Eretz Israel. What was Yitzhak promised? The same thing. What was Yaakov promised? The same thing. No talk about Torah. Only later. We talk about the Torah. Of course it's connected. Because Eretz Israel is the only place where you can keep the Torah in the best way. And what does it mean? It means, very simple. In order to keep the Torah in a proper way, I have to do it in Eretz Israel. Says the Chatam Sofer. Mitzvahs have two things. One is, I'm doing what God ordered me to do. In other words, I'm doing a mitzvah. The other thing is the power of the mitzvah. The inside power of the mitzvah. He says, and this, there is only one place in the world when you can get it. Where?
Eretz Israel.
In other words, all those who live abroad, they have the mitzvah, but they haven't got the inside power of the mitzvah. Only somebody who lives here can have both. In other words, in order to be whole, and we can say, Yesh li kol, Baruch Hashem, we are here in Eretz Yisrael. And if we combine Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish nation, and the Torah, then we whole. That's what it is. There's nothing else. You cannot separate anything. You cannot separate the Jew from the Torah, and you cannot separate the Torah from Eretz Yisrael. And all, you do it any way you want. You need three of them. So he's saying, "Atzileini na miyad achi miyad Esav." He said, "Esav, I've got no problem. Yes, I need your help, but I know exactly I'm standing against an enemy. But when he's going to come to me as a brother, then I have a problem. How am I going to fight this? He's going to hug me, to kiss me. He wants me to go with him." Yeah. And what is Yaakov telling him? "No, no, no, don't worry. I'm going slowly. I've got children and it's going to take me a long time. You go. Do you want me to give you a few people to escort you on the way?" "No, no, 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 don't bother. It's okay. I'm managing." He didn't have any intention to get and to meet Esav in his place. Because he knew, I cannot be with him. If we come back, "Veitrotzetzu abanim bekirba." When Rivka was pregnant, she had a whole fight in her belly. And one of the questions being asked, why is Yaakov fighting? Why is Yaakov wanting to go out if an angel is teaching him Torah? Because there is a famous midrash that the baby inside the womb of angel comes and teaching him all the Torah. So, how does it work? Why does he want to go away if an angel is teaching him Torah? Why?
Because
his chavruta is Esav. And if your chavruta is Esav, even if the angel is teaching you, don't stay there. And this is why we have to be very careful. The titen emet le Yaakov. Yaakov is emet. Though we see he's doing all those interesting things, but they're all truth. Because he is the pillar of truth. And he's also the pillar of Torah. Because the real truth is, when it serves the Torah, when it serves Am Yisrael, when it serves the purpose, then it's the real truth. And this is exactly what Yaakov Avinu is teaching us. He's fighting even with angels to tell us that there is also a spiritual bedside. Spiritual doesn't mean always good. People sometimes mistake. Spiritual is good. Physical is bad. No. You have good physical and bad physical, and you have good spiritual and bad spiritual. I wish that all of us will really know the difference. And that's the light of Hanukkah. The light of Hanukkah gives us the power to win the war. If we see the right light, if we understand, and how do we see the right light? Look inside. The Rav Dessler says, each one of us got nekudat emet, the point of truth inside of us. And the point of truth is talking to us. Sometimes we do something and we feel good about it. It means that we're doing a good thing. Sometimes, even if it looks good, but we feel something is wrong, check it again, because what you're doing, there is something wrong with it. And that's the message, one of the messages that the Yaakov Avinu is giving us in this parsha. And the other thing is, when you're willing in dealing with an enemy, be clever. Look at Yaakov. He's telling Esav, "Asher ra'iti et panecha kir'ot Elohim." He says, when I see your face, it's like seeing God, face of God. What is he really talking to? Is this so? This is Yaakov Avinu, but what is he really telling him? "I saw your angel, and I fought him, and I won." And I won. So be careful. So on the front, it looks like he says, "Oh, Esav, you are great. You are such a great guy." But really, what is he telling us? And listen to what I'm telling you. It sounds nice, but be aware. I want to be aware. You see, we want peace. We are a nation of peace. But peace you do from a point of view of power, not from a point of view of weakness. You cannot do peace from a point of view of weakness, only from a point of view of power. Bezrat Hashem.
Go ahead.
I was born in